A good friend is hard to find, especially as you get older. Making friends is not quite as easy as it used to be. It's when you're in kindergarten, it's easy. You just go up to somebody and ask them, "Hey, do you want to be my friend?" And they say yes, and then you're friends. And some of you, maybe you've made some of the best friends you've ever had that way. But it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes those friendships or many of the relationships that we have aren't always healthy. Our proverb this morning in Proverbs 27, verse 6, is going to teach us a little bit about what does it mean to be a good friend. Not just, friendships in general, but really this is about healthy relationships. Because all of us want to have healthy relationships, whether it's with a spouse or with a friend or with our family. None of us want to have a toxic or an unhealthy relationship. But the Bible has some wisdom for us about what a healthy, God-honoring friendship and relationship can look like. As we take a closer look at the verse, some of the wisdom God has for us might not look like what we imagine. So if you have your Bible, if you turn with me, Proverbs 27, verse 6, and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The grass withers and the flower fades. God's Word stands forever." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would be here this morning, that you continue to move among us, that you would help us to hear from your Word. Not for me, if anything is just from me and isn't in your word, I pray it would just go in one ear and out the other. But I pray that your word and you, as you reveal yourself in it, would transform us, would behold you and see what it is you have to teach us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can take a seat. We're going to study this proverb kind of in reverse order today. So we're going to start with a negative, kind of the end of the verse, and then we'll work more towards the positive. So our first point, if you're taking notes in your bulletin, is that bad friends always affirm us. Bad friends always affirm us. This is kind of a warning here, right? And in the proverb, it's not exactly literal. It's not a warning to beware of those who try to kiss you, like your grandma or somebody who might be more affectionate. It's telling us that we need to be careful of those who seem like, on the surface, they always love us. They seem to be our biggest fans. People who might continually be telling you how awesome you are and how great you are at everything. And just because somebody makes you feel good or affirms you doesn't mean that they're actually interested in your good. And sometimes these people can actually be our enemy. Proverbs tells us, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of the enemy." Or the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. I like the way that's the KJV translates it. They might appear to have your best interest at heart. They might appear like they are your friend and that they like you and they always talk like it, but sometimes it's deceitful. Sometimes it's untrue. You can picture like a young girl hanging out with the popular kids at school. They'll seem to like her and tell her how great she is, but then turn around and when she's not around, they mock her and talk about her behind her back. We're reading with the boys Voyage of the Dawn Treader from the Narnia series. They're very into it right now, and we're kind of in the middle of the story of these foolish people called the Duffers. If you have read it, you might remember they're the invisible people with 1 foot who jump around, and they're really silly and kind of foolish. And one of the things that struck me this time as we're reading it is they have this leader named the Chief, and every time he says anything, everyone around him always affirms it. And they'll say, "Oh, great job, Chief. Oh, yes, of course. Oh, couldn't have said it better," even when he's just like, "I'm hungry." "Oh, I always say we're hungry. Yes, of course, we have to eat." And it's very humorous. It just shows like how empty that praise is, how empty those affirmations are when that's the only thing that there is to say. Somebody who is always affirming you might not be somebody that you want to trust. In fact, it might be somebody you want to be wary of. They may end up even not just being a bad friend, but they might be an enemy. This is something I had to learn about and experience in ministry. This is something older pastors warned me of. They said, "Hey, when you go somewhere new and somebody is your biggest fan right away, be really careful with that person. I thought, wow, that's really strange. That's weird. But then I got to experience it. I led a Bible study at some low-income housing apartments. It was a small Bible study. It was just kind of in the common room where everybody was. And so, you know, we were like at one table. There were lots of other people around. And, you know, one woman came at first, and she was just my biggest fan, which felt great because it was a new place trying to do this. And she would talk each week how amazing I was. This is the best thing ever. Then a couple weeks go by. And then there's another man who'd been hanging around. He didn't attend, but he was just there, you know, kind of doing his thing. And he wanted to talk to me kind of after the Bible study was over, and it became very clear afterwards that he's not a Christian, but he just wanted to know, you know, he just wanted to talk about it. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Let's kind of talk about Jesus. And this woman, who had been my biggest fan, interrupted me. And she was like, I just need you to know, this guy is a Democrat, and you need to rebuke him right now. And I said, well, he's told me he doesn't know Jesus, and I care a lot more about that right now than I care about who he's voting for. And she got so angry at me in that moment that she started screaming at me. And I'm not exaggerating. She was yelling at the top of her lungs. I've never been screamed at this since I was like a child or in sports. And she's screaming at me and calling me an apostate. And she never came back, and she ended up killing the Bible study. She started telling everybody to just avoid this. This person's not really a Christian. They're leading you down a bad path. Plenty of praise in the beginning, lots of kisses. But she turned out to be an enemy. And there are lots of people who will do this. There are people who will lead you right into sin with their affirmation. There are people who will celebrate you as you sin. There are people who will cheer you on and root for you and tell you how amazing and brave you are as you walk away from Jesus and walk away from the faith. And they will be paraded around the world as saying, ah, these are good friends. These are the kind of people we need. And this is some of what we have to be wary of, because sin can give us very deceptive support. There's a lot in this world that is praised as good. There's a lot in this world that is affirmed. Okay, changing your gender is praised as good. Whatever your sexuality is, wherever it is on some spectrum, is praised as good. Polyamory, embracing as many partners as you desire, as long as everybody's happy, is praised as good. Political idolatry is praised as just being a good party member. Gluttony and overindulgence, that's being praised as just self-care and treating yourself. These are the kind of things that the world will tell you. And it'll tell you, hey, if somebody tries to confront you on this, if someone tries to tell you this is harmful, you don't need to do this, you need to cut that person out of your life because they're terrible. Now, there are people that maybe we do need to cut out of our life. There are those who can be, maybe they've been a threat to your safety or they're a threat to the safety of your family. But harmful doesn't mean somebody who tells you that you're wrong sometimes. It doesn't mean somebody who doesn't accept you just as you are in all of your sin and affirm it and tell you to keep going that way. That's not good. There are people in this world who will celebrate all of the choices that you make, however immoral or moral, however far away from Jesus that they are, and they'll affirm you. That's not a good friend. That's not somebody that we should trust. And if we only want people in our lives who will celebrate us and tell us how amazing we are and affirm everything that we do, that will only lead to disaster. Here's the reality, too. Whatever your particular sin is, and pick it, if I didn't name it, we all have some. You'll be able to find people, not just friends, but especially in the days of the internet and the kind of connectivity that promises, you could find a whole community that will embrace you and surround you and tell you, that's actually not a sin, it's the greatest thing ever, and you should do it all that you want to your heart's content. They'll encourage your sin, they'll praise you, tell you, hey, just cut anybody out of your life, whoever tells you this is wrong and you shouldn't do this, just keep going. What you need to hear is the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. They are profuse. Their praise of sin is deceptive, and sin promises a lot, and it cannot deliver. It's too good to be true. It will only leave us broken. And we need to be careful, too, that we're not these kinds of people as well for others. Some of us sometimes have been someone who always affirms others. We don't know how to be honest. Maybe we never want to rebuke somebody. even we know they're doing something wrong. We see sin and we know, if I say something, it's going to start a fight. I don't know if I want to, I'll just be quiet, or maybe I'll just mumble an affirmation. We'll just move on. Maybe I can get out of this. That's been my temptation, you know, my struggle, and sitting at meals and then somebody says something, you know, super racist or super terrible, and I start making mental calculations. Okay, if I say something, how are they going to respond? Then how's everyone else going to respond? And then, okay, now if I just ruin this meal and it's my fault, so okay, maybe I'll just, you know, they're going to accuse me of being a liberal and tell me all these other things. And ruin the, okay, I'll just, whatever. There are times we act like that. You know, we're not being a good friend. We're certainly not behaving as somebody who loves them. But if we ever refuse to call out sin, if we never give our friends anything other than kisses and compliments and affirmations, if we never push back or challenge, we might not actually be as good of a friend as we think. But we might actually be their enemy. This isn't just about friendship. You know, this is really kind of how sin works in general, because bad friends are just a symptom of a deeper sin issue. Sin isn't new. It's not like we just invented it last year, or as if new sins have just been created. Wow, this never happened before. Things are so bad. Now, sin's always been around. And sin works the same way. It always comes up to us with kisses and affirmations and praises. It seduces us with promises of good things. It tempts us to do something that sounds good or something that feels good. Alcohol and drugs will promise to take your pain and your suffering away for just a little while. Sexual sin and pornography will promise it'll make you feel good. It'll make you whole. This is what you've always needed. It'll make us promises. It'll tell us, hey, just give in just this one time. Oh, just go ahead and do it. It's going to feel so good. Nobody's going to know. Tell you, oh, you deserve it. And sin will tell us, oh, God actually wants you to do this. And I tell you, no, this is who you are. You just need to embrace it. You can't help it. But it lies. It betrays us. It will lead to our death. I couldn't help but think of Judas as I read this verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Judas was a disciple of Jesus. He was with Jesus from the very beginning, saw all of the miracles, heard all of the sermons. Then at the pivotal moment, he betrays Jesus with a kiss. Even at the end, when he's made the decision to turn Jesus over to the Romans to be executed, he still pretends to be someone who loves Jesus and shows it with a kiss. Sin pretends to love us, but it lies, and it betrays us with kisses. And sometimes it uses other people in our lives to lie to us. Sometimes it uses people who call themselves our friends. And what we need to see and learn and be aware of is that affirmation is not always good. Sometimes it is our enemy and very wicked. Sometimes it's dangerous, and sometimes it's deceptive. It's the bad news, our first point. Bad friends always affirm us. Our second point is that good friends sometimes challenge us. Good friends sometimes challenge us. Or you saw our title of the sermon, it's Be a Friend Who Wounds. Sometimes our friends wound us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. These two points are meant to be kind of opposites from each other. Now, again, it's not about literally whether you give your friends kisses or not, or whether you literally wound them or hurt them. It's kind of showing us there are sometimes friends can do things that feel good and they're not good. And sometimes our friends can do things that do not feel good, that hurt, but they are good and they're needed. Sometimes there are people in your life that need to hurt you and need to do things that don't make you feel good, but what they're doing is actually faithful. In the faithfulness that's described here, faithful are the wounds of a friend, it's also describing the character of what these friends are. They are a friend who is faithful. And sometimes they challenge us. Sometimes they push back, and sometimes they wound us, especially when we need it. Nor are these challenges or the wounds. Most of the time, I think this is describing kind of when they can hurt our feelings, especially when we are confronted. Does anyone like to be confronted when they do things wrong? Or challenged when you've sinned? Do you like having your flaws and sinful tendencies pointed out? And we enjoy when someone points out, hey, that thing that we've talked about a dozen times, you're doing it again. No, none of us like that. It hurts. Sometimes it can even physically hurt if it's an issue that is close to you, especially when we know that they're right. And we just hate that they're having to say it again. And it can feel like a wound. It can feel like they're attacking us. They're attacking our character, or the core of who we are at our souls. And it might not feel good. It certainly might not feel good in the moment. But the wounds of a friend are faithful. And sometimes these are the challenge and the wounds that we can trust. Okay, a faithful friend might have to tell us, hey, you need to stop joking and being so sarcastic. Because it might be really fun for you, but it's really hurting me, and I'm seeing how it's hurting other people. You need to stop. Faithful friend might say, hey, you've been complaining a lot. You've certainly been complaining a lot more recently than I've heard you do before. That's not right. A faithful friend might have to tell us, hey, you just said something that was racist. Hey, you just said something that's not what Christians should say. We shouldn't talk like that. A faithful friend's willing to say the hard thing, even when they know that we won't like it, even when they know it might hurt, even when they know it might cost them something. Now, it means, too, that they're saying something and they're doing this when they're challenging us, but it comes from a place of love. And we can trust that what they're saying is good. We can trust that a faithful friend wouldn't be saying this unless they absolutely had to. Unless they prayed about it, talked about it, thought about it beforehand, or they're doing it for our good. You know, there's a difference between these kinds of, or different kinds of challenges or wounds, aren't there? Sometimes people will just say things to hurt our feelings. They'll say things that they know bother us. They say things that they know offend you, and they're doing it just to get you riled up because it's fun or that's just what they do. And they wound you, and they end up doing it just for their own entertainment. Or they have a twisted sense of this is what friendship is supposed to be like. I remember I had a friend who was like this once. He just liked to insult and tear everybody down, especially if you got more attention or you were doing better than he was in something. And so he would just tear you down. If you said something or if you confronted him about it, you just play it off as a talk. Like, oh, this is just how guys are. It's just how we, you know, it's just a joke. What's your problem? But it wounded. It wasn't faithful wounds because it wasn't for our good and it wasn't out of love. A faithful wound doesn't mean that you love the person. As long as I love them, I can hurt them however I want because love justifies it. Okay, that's how people justify domestic violence. Or other harm. So I need to be clear and kind of put a caveat here. I wish I didn't have to. I know the world we live in. You know, often people are tempted to take God's word and use it to justify their own sinfulness. So no, this isn't telling you can be violent towards one another. It's not saying you can go and hit and punch and physically harm people or that you can be verbally abusive and tear them down and say, oh, I'm just doing it out of love because a faithful friend. Wounds. That's a misunderstanding. A wound can only be faithful, and the challenge can only be faithful if it's something that Jesus would do. If it's something that Jesus would say. And it can only be faithful when it's something that looks towards our healing, restoring us and bringing us back to Jesus. I'll give you a simple example that might help too. Okay, we were at the beach in Florida this last summer. At Brianna's parents' condo, there's this kind of beautiful pedestrian bridge, which is made of wood, but it takes you down right, you know, from where they stay to the water. I wear shoes kind of every time we go on it, you know, because not always because it's hot, but because it's an old wood bridge, and I don't want to get splinters. And I wear my shoes all the way down to the very edge of the bridge, and then there's like 6 steps from the top till you get to the sand. So I usually stop there, take the shoes off, you know, brave the last 6 steps, and then, you know, home free. And one of the last time we were there, you know, doing the thing, walking down, and take off my shoes and get down, and right at like one of the last steps, it finally happens after I've been warning the kids not run their hands on the things, they're going to get a splinter. I get a massive splinter in my foot. It was a big one, and it hurt. I can be a baby about stuff like this too, but it hurt a lot. I tried to get it out. I couldn't get it out. Okay, thankfully, Brianna was willing to help me. But her help didn't feel great. Okay, I didn't particularly enjoy her help. Wasn't very excited about her help. Getting poked with tweezers and needles, it feels terrible. It did not feel good. It hurt and it wounded me. But she got the splinter out so my foot could heal, although it still hurt for a few days. It hurt longer than I thought that it should have. Kind of hurt to walk a little bit. I was feeling like a baby. But why was her wounding me faithful? It's because I needed to be wounded. Because leaving that big old splinter in my foot and ignoring it was going to lead to much worse problems than the wounding in the moment would have. Taking it out might hurt now, but it's going to lead to my restoration and to my long-term health. That is what the wounds of a faithful friend do. My children, you know, still don't always understand this. Sometimes medicine hurts. Okay, I'm sorry this medicine doesn't taste great. It's not candy. We're not doing this because it's fun. I'm doing this because you need it. Okay, they get really bad bug bites recently that are ballooning up. Grant got like 7 on his face. Some of you have seen him. Oh, why is Grant's face like that? He got bit by a mosquito when he woke up from a nap, and they looked terrible. Didn't like it when we put stuff on it that's going to make it not hurt because it stung. I'm trying to explain, hey, I know this hurts right now, but I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you feel better. You got to trust me. No, you got to get in the bath. We got to wash this. We can't just leave it alone. Please trust me. I need to put this medicine on your bites. Okay, that's what the wounds of a faithful friend and the challenge does. They remove the splinter and the logs of sin from our eyes and our feet. Sometimes our sin has to be pointed out to us. And oftentimes it feels bad. We get convicted by the Holy Spirit and we feel shame, and it presents a choice to us. We can either run to Jesus and we can repent and we can be restored, or we can sit in the condemnation of the enemy and we can languish and we can scream and fight and get angry at the person who's trying to help us. But the wounds of a friend and their challenge is faithful. They can point out to us and say, hey, I know this is going to hurt and this isn't going to feel good, but you are heading down a very dangerous path. Because I love you and I care about you, I want you to turn around. And so they wound us when we need it to keep us from being fools and to tell us the truth. Friends are willing to pull us aside and say, hey, I notice you're getting like really obsessed with politics, and it seems like you care about this a lot more than you care about Jesus. A faithful friend will have a willingness to say, hey, I know you've shared in the past that you've struggled with alcohol, and I've noticed that you're drinking again. And from what I can see, it seems like you're drinking a lot. A faithful friend says a willingness to say, hey, the way you're talking about your spouse is not right. And that's not healthy. If you need to talk, you need advice, that's fine, that's great, but I'm not going to sit here and listen to you disparage them that way, because that's not right. A faithful friend is willing, if someone comes to them and says, hey, I'm hurting, I'm struggling with my sexuality or my gender, I feel like I'm born in the wrong body, I don't know what to do, I don't know how the Bible explains this. A faithful friend will say, hey, I love you and God loves you. Let's look at what his word says together, even though it might not feel good and we might not like where it lands. But let's do this together. A faithful friend is willing to have a hard conversation. A faithful friend is willing to challenge you and willing to wound you in a moment, so you can be healed and come back to Christ. Ecclesiastes 7:5, you know, tells us it's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. We need wise friends who rebuke us. We don't need the kisses and the praises and the songs and encouragements of fools of others. So what kind of friend are you for others? Are you a faithful one? Are you a good one who sometimes challenges when the need comes? Do you even let others be that kind of friend for you? Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't listen when our friends try to rebuke us, and we shut them down so hard that they're too scared to do it again. Or sometimes we won't even let anyone come close enough to us. We'll keep people at bay because we don't want to have a close relationship where somebody might see what's really going on and they might have to say something. Some of us really need to take these verses to heart. For some of us, we need to work at becoming this kind of friend. Some of you might never want to wound others. You might have a difficult time challenging someone and telling them that they're wrong. And so even in the moments when you know that you need to, you can even feel the Holy Spirit impressing on you and telling you, you know, you should say something, or they even ask you, just straight up ask you, hey, what do you think about this obviously sinful thing that I'm doing? And for those of us who are there, we need to have courage in those moments. And we need to learn and remember, hey, sometimes love and a good friend challenges, and sometimes it might even wound, and it's faithful and it's good if we have a Christ-like attitude, if we're doing it in a way that honors Jesus. We're going to confront one another in gentleness when the time comes. So some of us probably need to do this more. And some others of us, you might actually need to do this a little less. Okay, some of us might be on another extreme, or you might be tempted on the extreme to start confronting everybody everywhere about all of their sin. Run into somebody at the store, and you just pass by and hear them say something, and you say, you know what, I'm a faithful friend, you know, wound, so I'm going to go ahead and let this person know what they're doing is wrong and how they need to follow Jesus. You could justify it and say, well, no, pastor said we need to be doing this, so I'm going to practice and we're doing this more. Okay, this verse is not, you know, license or permission for us to take the Holy Spirit's place. We get to do this for everybody. It doesn't give us the freedom to just say whatever we want, however we want, and then say, oh, well, I love you. I'm trying to help you be like Jesus. But so for some of us who are tempted in that way, you might need to ask yourselves, hey, are my wounds really faithful ones? Am I really challenging people in a faithful, Christ-honoring way? I might need to examine their heart. Am I really doing this for their good, or am I just doing it for my own good? Because I want to say something. Because I want to do this. So also as we look at this, there's a sense in which the gospel is a challenge. And there are moments when the gospel wounds us. The gospel begins with us having to understand our need for salvation. The gospel starts by letting us know, hey, you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. It looks at us and says, hey, you're not just sick and you need a little bit of help so you can get better. It's you're dead in your sins. It's too late for you to figure this out on your own. And your only hope and getting better is Jesus. That's challenging. It's hard. The gospel assaults and it insults our pride. It tells us our best efforts are not good enough. It tells us that our best efforts on your best day is still far short of the glory of God. And the gospel informs us, you need Jesus. This is part of why the gospel is so offensive. It wounds us and it points out our problems. It challenges our assumptions. It lets us know, hey, there's not a lot of different ways to salvation. There's not a lot of different options and do whatever you want or figure this out. You know, you can come to Jesus in your own time. Jesus is the only way to salvation. It's only here. You only have time while you are alive, and so you had better decide. That's a difficult pill to swallow. It's not a diagnosis we exactly want to receive. And there are many who don't like this part of the gospel and who struggle with it. Man, well, I like Jesus, you know, but I like the nice part of Jesus where he loves us and he teaches us to love one another and, you know, take the log out of your own eye. That's all great. They like the parts that feel good. They don't like the parts of Jesus that wound them or challenge them. They don't like when Jesus says things that are hard to obey. And some find it so offensive, they never want to talk about sin, even when they want to proclaim and talk about the gospel. It's just about the love and the positive and all the good stuff. But we need the bad news too. And the gospel does challenge us, and it wounds us because Christ is a faithful friend. The gospel is not a lot of flattering kisses that won't amount to much or that will betray you or disappoint you. The gospel and the good news of Jesus might hurt you a little bit, but it will and it can lead to our healing. If we're willing to accept Christ as our Savior, if we're willing to accept the salvation that he brings, if we're willing to repent of our sin and acknowledge our need for Jesus, then he will redeem us. Then he makes us a new creation. Then he takes away our sin and he makes us righteous. And this is true not just at the beginning of the gospel. This isn't just true for like when you first become a Christian. Following Jesus can still challenge us and hurt us too. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Crosses are painful to carry. The disciples had to leave behind their nets and their friends and their family and follow Jesus. Following Jesus and embracing the gospel means denying yourself every single day. It's challenging. It's painful. It hurts to walk away from our sin every day. It's much easier to just do whatever you want and follow your heart. It hurts sometimes to have to live in a sinful culture that is trying to pull you away from Jesus, even when we don't understand why. And yet, as we follow Jesus, as we hear his words, it leads to our salvation and it leads to our deliverance. The sting of the gospel might last for a little while. There may even be some sting that comes from following Jesus, but it is nothing to be compared with the healing, the redemption, and the eternal life that waits for us as we follow him. Because Jesus loves us. And Hebrews 12 reminds us Jesus disciplines those that he loves. Jesus disciplines us as his children. He only challenges us, he only wounds us, he only pushes us because he is a good father who cares for us. Because he does not want to let sin to continue to destroy our lives. Because he doesn't want us to continue to head down the path far away from him, rejecting him, and facing the consequences of our sins. He wants to make us new. And so he rebukes us. So he sends the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. So he puts us in a local church family where we will be a body who are good friends and who confront one another. And who challenge one another when we're walking away from him. And Jesus is the most faithful friend. He's faithful to us even when we curse him. He's faithful to us even as we betray him. And even when we are faithless, he is still faithful because he can't deny himself. So are you listening to Jesus? Are you listening to his voice when he challenges you? Do you listen to the rebuke of Christ? Or do you listen to the affirmations of the enemy? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus believes in you. He knows what you can be. He knows what he created you in your mother's womb to be. If you will only listen and come in faith, you can come and be healed by the wounded Savior. I'm going to transition to communion, and I'm going to close this in prayer. Lord, I ask first that you would help us just to embrace the gospel. Or not just those of us who might not be following you, who might not be believers, especially those, I pray that they would embrace you and listen to your challenge. But those of us who are following you and have followed you for most of our lives, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to follow you, even as you challenge us. Lord, I pray that we would listen to our friends, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit, we would listen to your voice when we are challenged and when our sin is called out, that we would not, we wouldn't get defensive, we wouldn't start fighting back and start arguing, but that we would stop and listen, that we'd repent. And would you help us to be that kind of friend for others too? Not because we want to challenge people, but because we want to see them restored, because we want to see them repent, and because we want to follow Jesus together. And I praise you and I thank you that there is always forgiveness. There is always grace for those to turn to Jesus, no matter what we've done. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, next week we're going to start a new series in the book of 1 Peter. So if you want to start reading chapter 1 to get ready for that, and if you can be looking out for the newsletter that Wendy will be sending out soon, there will be a sneak preview of what that's going to be. So here are our benediction from the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go in peace.